Welcome everybody to Where Things Stand with NC Broadband Matters. We'll get started in just a second. Hi everybody, I'm Catherine Rice and I am a co-founder and a board member and the secretary of NC Broadband Matters, our grassroots nonprofit aimed at helping to educate North Carolinians on ways to improve broadband in their communities. I am honored and thrilled to bring you our June webinar titled Where Things Stand with NC Broadband Matter Grants. And yes, everyone who registered will receive a copy of the video archive of this session and the PowerPoint. So let me go ahead and pass the virtual microphone to Doug Dawson, our NC Broadband Matters president, who will moderate our session and who will introduce our renowned speakers from the NC Department of Information Technology. The floor is yours, Doug.
Welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you here. This is the third time that we've had this webinar now over the past year, and it's going to be a really exciting time. I mean, there's just a huge amount of money in the GREAT grants. We know that there's the giant federal BEAD money coming. There's a lot of money, finally, that we've all been hoping for a decade for digital inclusion work. And so today, we're going to catch up on what's going on, because it's a lot. So we want to hear from the folks who really have the answer for us and to tell us what's going on. We're going to have questions at the end, so please put your questions. There's a Q&A at the bottom, and we will get as many of your questions answered as we can. And so this is your chance to ask these folks about the grants. So we always appreciate them being here. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Nate Denny. He's the Deputy Secretary of the Broadband and Digital Equity Division of NCDET. And he's been there since May of 2021. And this is his third time talking to this group, and we appreciate him being here. So let me hand it off to you, Nate. And Nate's not feeling the greatest today, so let's be nice to him.
Thank you. I was already going to say I really appreciate the kind welcome we get here. NCDIT doesn't always get that kind of welcome across the state, although I guess $1 billion will do that for you. Thank you all. I really appreciate the opportunity to come update this group. Forgive my scratchy voice. Doug's right. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. I want to start by saying how much we appreciate this group and all of the members and stakeholders here that always come together for these discussions. I know Governor Cooper had hoped to be able to join today, but was not able to for scheduling purposes. But sends his regards, and the work that this team is doing, I think, is really a reflection of the focus that he and his administration are putting on connecting everyone in North Carolina. So wanted to again just say thank you for the work you do. And I think want to come back to that later too, because I think the work you're doing, I think, is going to be critical for the state's success through the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program, upcoming Federal Digital Equity Act opportunities, and so on. So we'll talk a little bit more about that coordination. The other thing I want to do is introduce both these members of our team that are on the screen with me now, and a few other new names and faces, some of whom I think have joined this morning and some of whom are tied up elsewhere. You all know and have talked previously with Angie Bailey, who is our esteemed director of the Broadband Infrastructure Office, was previously deputy, and for a while was the acting director. We're very fortunate that Angie has stayed on. Her team is administering more than $970 million worth of state and federal funding right now. So they're plenty busy, but I'm very grateful day to day to have Angie working on this effort. So I want to say that here for all of you and for Angie too. We've also got Annette Taylor, who's just joined the team. I think she's in week 6. I think she's had one opportunity to speak to this group before, maybe before she was even officially on board. Annette joins us from the North Carolina Lottery Commission, where she was heading up minority business outreach and various grant programming through the Lottery Commission. Previously, headed up district outreach for Congressman G.K. Butterfield as well. We should mention Congressman Butterfield's leadership of in areas of broadband infrastructure deployment and digital equity. Congressman Butterfield was talking about the importance of affordability and device access before a lot of other people were certainly in Congress. And so we appreciate his leadership. And I think that that makes Annette a particularly good fit to help drive all of our digital equity work. She's leading the new Office of Digital Equity and Literacy that Governor Cooper created within North Carolina's Department of Information Technology that will be administering $50 million over the next 4 years for affordability work, device access, digital literacy and skills training, and community capacity building and grants, as well as all of the funding that will come from President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law as well. So she is also a welcome member of the team for whom we're very grateful. There are a couple of other folks that I want to highlight here because I don't know that they've had a chance to talk to this group yet, or at least in this context, but it's worth, I think, highlighting. And the best, one of the best things I think that we're doing so far is building just a really incredible expert team to administer these funds, protect the interests of North Carolina taxpayers, and most importantly, help connect everyone in the state. George Collier, who had previously ran the Great Grant Program, has returned to DIT, is now Angie's deputy director in the Broadband Infrastructure Office. She's also hired Jeff Brooks from the private sector, who is heading up our new Completing Access to Broadband program, as well as our Stopgap program, some of the more flexible strategic pots of funds we've got to move beyond the very prescriptive Great Grant process. And then Angie's also brought on Stephanie Jane Edwards from previously from MCNC as our in-house mapping expert, helping us to get to a better view of who's served, unserved, or underserved in North Carolina. Annette has a small but mighty team. I think many of you are familiar with Kaya Edwards, who really kept the digital equity work afloat before Annette was on the team. Kaya's still leading our NGA grant work and a lot of our additional outreach, kind of connectivity hub work, and so on. And then we've also, I'm grateful to say, stolen Maggie Woods away from the Institute for Emerging Issues. And she is, she'll be helping develop and lead our grant programming in the Office of Digital Equity and Literacy. So another huge pickup for our team. And I know many of you are very familiar with Maggie and her work. She's an incredible leader on digital equity and inclusion work in North Carolina. So Crystal, if you can jump, and I should mention too, Crystal Dickerson, who's helping us out today, is our comms lead for broadband work in the Department of Information Technology. I'm sure many of you have worked with Crystal. She helps pull together really incredible events and programming, helping to highlight local stakeholder-driven work happening across our state. So if you haven't had a chance to work with Crystal yet, plan to. She'll be engaging with all of you a lot more, I think. Crystal, if you can jump to the next slide. You know, I always want to start here with our top line goals. I know this audience has heard it before, but this is really the most important thing to keep in mind as we talk about all these different funding pots and different programs and protests and various providers and locations. These are our goals, right? And we can't lose sight. And these are our goals specific to the American Rescue Plan funds. We want to get 98% of North Carolina and North Carolinians with access to high-speed internet by 2025. Of course, the Infrastructure Investment Jobs Act goal is to have everyone connected at high speeds. We want to make sure that we're closing the permanent the homework gap permanently in North Carolina for households with school children, and we want an 80% subscription rate for North Carolina households both as a statewide average and across demographic groups, and making sure that our work benefits all communities that are otherwise left behind. Next slide, please, Crystal. Similarly, I won't spend a lot of time on this, but just want to highlight the major programming elements of the more than $1 billion in American Rescue Plan funds that Governor Cooper and the General Assembly have directed to closing the digital divide. $380 million, 350 federal and 30 state for the Great Grant Program, which is our existing last mile infrastructure incentive program. I think Angie's going to give you more of an update because that applications for that grant program actually closed, or were due, May 4th. And we've been in the kind of public posting and protest process. And she can give you a little more on where we stand, when we anticipate making awards, and what those applications propose to cover. We're thrilled with the level of interest and demand from North Carolina's internet provider community, providers of all types, the big incumbent providers, our rural co-ops, and so on and so forth. So they're all going to be critical, I think, to connecting all of North Carolina. $50 million for digital equity work. So that's making sure that folks know about the ACP and know how to enroll, getting devices into low-income households, and building community capacity so that we're ready to maximize funds to North Carolina through President Biden's infrastructure law as well. Next slide. And then, of course, as I mentioned, we're all preparing for the infrastructure law funding. The biggest bucket there is the BEAD program, Broadband Equity Access and Deployment. It's a $42 billion fund run by U.S. Department of Commerce's National Telecommunication and Information Administration. We're working very closely with NTIA on that. The notice of funding opportunity for that, the competitive middle mile program, which is $1 billion, and the first of three digital equity planning or digital equity programs, the planning grant program, were released on May 13th in North Carolina. I'm proud to say Secretary Raimondo and the entire NTIA leadership team came to North Carolina to announce these notices of funding opportunity with Governor Cooper in recognition of his focus on this work over the last year or so, and before. And I should say, we are very actively seeking these funds to maximize North Carolina's share. The BEAD program, NOFO, was launched. Notice of funding opportunity was that Friday, May 13th. And by Monday afternoon, the 16th, we had had our letter in from Governor Cooper signaling our intent to participate in that program. And we are working on that application for initial planning funds and our Digital Equity Act planning funds as we speak. So North Carolina is committed to remaining one of the first states out of the gate for each of these. And again, our goal, our directive from the governor and from the General Assembly is to maximize North Carolina's share of these funds, whether it's funds that we can go grab, or like Middle Mile or the Digital Equity Competitive Grant Program funds that that you will be going out to grab, right? So we've got to make sure that we are building that capacity and a real ecosystem of digital equity work across the state. Last thing I'll say, I think this is my last slide. Crystal's the next one, Angie's. Yeah, these are the dates that I just mentioned. So I think the next slide is Angie's great grant update. And so I'll leave it here. But the one thing I want to say that came out, there was a real point of emphasis from Secretary Raimondo and the NTIA team, is the importance of local stakeholder coordination as North Carolina develops its plans. Both the BEAD program and the Digital Equity Act program require us to do five-year plans for broadband infrastructure and for digital equity, and they've got to be interwoven, right? We can't have a broadband infrastructure deployment plan that doesn't address affordability, workforce, telemedicine, and so on and so forth. And so NTIA put it to us pretty straight. They said, if we get a plan and then we turn around to your County Commissioners Association, your Rural Center, your League of Municipalities, your other prominent stakeholders working on this mission across the state, and they say, well, we haven't seen it, or we kind of saw it on the back end rather than being engaged on the front end, then NTI is not going to look favorably on that. Our mission, our goal, our mandate from the feds is really to involve all of you on the front end of this planning and throughout the planning process. So I appreciate Catherine and Doug having us here today to talk through this work and give you a lot of updates, but I especially appreciate the role they play in convening stakeholders across the state, because that communication, I think, is going to be key as we try to maximize these funds moving forward. So pay attention, because there are going to be a lot of other opportunities to give us feedback moving forward. So with that, Angie.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Nate. Thanks, Catherine. Thanks, Doug and NC Broadband Matters for having us today. So yes, we're very excited to have received, I think you all know, we had a big demand for the Great Grant Program. We did receive 305 applications to serve 94 counties. So we are working hard to get them reviewed. It is a fairly complex process. You know, essentially there's kind of the, you know, not just quickly to go, there's kind of the eligibility review, this kind of financial solvency and legal checks for, you know, the companies themselves, technical review, the partnership piece, and then, you know, mapping is really the foundation of it. So we're working on all those pieces. Our applications proposed to serve more than 487,000 businesses and homes in North Carolina. We are required by law to have a protest period. And so applications can be protested on by broadband service providers who say that they serve a location within an application. And so that protest period, that 20-day period, opened a few weeks ago and closed on Sunday, June 19th. So we did receive a lot of protests. We're working on mapping those this week. And then we have to kind of look at the data from the protester versus the data in the initial application and work on resolving those, either approving or denying the protest. So that's what we're working on right now. Once we kind of get all those review pieces done and we're clear on exactly how many locations are in the application, in the final application, that's when we can actually score, since the scoring is tied to the specific number of locations. So we're getting close to that. We do plan to make awards in July. We had hoped for June, but there's just a lot of pieces. We want to make sure that we're, you know, these investments that are being made or that we're being careful and thorough on who they're going to. And so, and that we've, you know, thoroughly reviewed everything. So we're working on that. We, as Nate mentioned, we did hire a new broadband data and mapping lead, Stephanie Jane Edwards. So she was actually our mapper under the NC Broadband Office at Department of Commerce. And so back then we actually collected data from all of the broadband providers in the state directly. That was under the NTIA for a five-year period years back. And so she has that experience and then has worked with MCNC on infrastructure mapping. So she's kind of, we still partner with the Center for Geographic Information and Analysis, which is one of our partners at DIT, who's done an amazing job on broadband mapping. Stephanie Jane will be looking at kind of the higher level of, you know, how all these pieces come together. So we're very happy to have her. So that's kind of great in a super simplified way. I think we have a map on the next slide. So this kind of shows the application locations that have been proposed. Again, it's 488,000 locations, roughly 14,000 businesses. And so it's a total project cost of $1.7 billion. And so we're working through them. Yeah, and let me go on to CAB, because there's a tie to the CAB program. So once the Great Grant awards are awarded and we kind of know where those areas are, the Completing Access to Broadband, which is the next program that will be rolled out, there is a first, an initial phase in that where a county would be able to choose to fund an eligible unfunded great grant project. So that's in legislation. And so that's kind of a first step is, hey, you know, X county, there were these two projects in your county that we weren't able to fund because of the $350 million cap on great grants. So if you would like to fund those with your CAB funding, that's an option. But obviously the next option would be to kind of start the broader CAB program, which would be kind of to work with us to make sure we've identified the eligible areas together and then do a competitive bid for your county. So CAB, we have a new guidance that is not out yet, but it will be out, should be out by tomorrow. And it's essentially outlining the program parameters for CAB based on legislation. And so it's not the implementation guidance that will be coming out later. Implementation piece will kind of outline how exactly the procurement process will work. But again, the program parameter guidance should be out by tomorrow. And essentially it just kind of outlines the parameters of the program that are in come from legislation primarily.
Angie, this is Doug, if I can interrupt for a second. We will send that update to everybody on this webinar. So once we get that update, so.
Okay, super. So that's coming out. At the same time that comes out, there's a new mapping tool that essentially will outline, you know, the areas that we know to have less than 25.3 minus the, we'll have to add in the grade awards when they're made. And then areas that we believe have less than 100 down, 20 up. So we will map also the underserved areas at 100 down, 20 up. And so those would all be considerations for the CAB program. So that's coming up. The CAB program is being funded. It's our mixed program. So it's being funded partly by state fiscal recovery fund dollars and then part by capital project fund dollars. And so we did submit our application to U.S. Treasury for the capital project funds last week. There's an initial application which has already been approved, but then we have to send the actual program plans. So that's been submitted. We are also working on the pole replacement program. We have a new posting. I don't think it's up today, but it should be up this week. And that's for a program manager for the pole replacement program. And we've been starting discussions with some of the stakeholders in that area, like our EMCs and our electricities and some of those folks that will be impacted by that. So that's moving. And then we are also working as a division on a broad RFP for an implementation partner to help us with some of this work. And I think those are all my slides, but I'm happy to talk more when we get to questions. You know, we're also working really closely on tracking the FCC mapping process and how that will fold into all of this. And then as Nate mentioned, working on the BEAD planning. So we can talk more about that in questions as well, if there's questions. And I think the next slide, I believe is, I'm turning that over to Annette.
Thanks, Angie. Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be back with all of you. Thanks, Doug and Catherine, for having me again. I know a little bit more now than I did a month ago about why North Carolina is a leader in digital equity, and I'm proud to be working together with Nate and Angie and just the entire broadband team and managing our mighty team of three that Nate mentioned earlier, focus on digital inclusion for the state. This slide just shares a little bit about what we're focused on. Certainly, as Nate mentioned, we're planning to move forward our $50 million over the next 4 years, raising awareness of the affordable connectivity program. That's something that we're hoping to really increase enrollment in. We'll talk about that on the next slide. But our office is focused on getting devices into low-income households and getting them the support that they need to be able to use a meaningful use. And adoption. And then, of course, we're focused on building community partnerships and helping them build their capacity to be able to compete for some of the funds coming down. Next slide. Yeah, and so here we're just showing, this image is showing more about where enrollment is in the Affordable Connectivity Program. What we know is that we do have over 460,000 people across the state enrolled, and you can see here where the need is for more enrollment, but we have a goal of reaching over 1.1 million by 2025. of enrollment. And so I think many people may understand and know that this particular program provides a discount of $30 per household, qualifying households, and up to $75 a month subsidy for tribal lands. People can also get a one-time discount of up to $100 for laptops, tablets, and desktop computers. And also 20 internet service providers are offering a $30 high-speed internet monthly plan for where they qualify. And so I'm not sure if the link is available anywhere in the chat, but if people go to getinternet.gov, they can get more details. So you never know who knows this. So I thought it was important to share that here. And so really what we're focusing on lately, we are working on our digital equity planning application right now that will get into the feds by July 12th. And we're hoping that those awards will be granted by the end of September. We're looking to develop a core planning team. And one of them will serve, someone will serve on that BEAD program as well that Angie will be leading. We're working with surveys to better understand the barriers faced by North Carolina covered populations, which, you know, includes a variety of marginalized populations that you all know about, the low income, rural populations, veterans, second chance populations, folks with language barriers, and the like. We have a list of those. You, of course, can learn more on our website. We're planning over the next year or so to host listening sessions to better understand more about the barriers. And then we'll do a needs assessment and create an asset inventory as well. And as we're developing our digital equity plan, we'll be getting public comment, getting your feedback. That's why we know it's important to, you know, work across the state and look at who's doing what. And the local coordination is very important, as Nate mentioned earlier. So we'll be incorporating feedback from organizations like yours as we develop this comprehensive digital equity plan and really build upon the governor's strategy that he's already put out to reach those goals. We understand that digital inclusion plans are very important. You all know that we've been working, actually, many of you who know Maggie Woods, that will be joining our team, as Nate mentioned, through our partnership with IEI and the BAN NC programs. The digital inclusion plans are being created across the state. We know this is important for the, you know, localities to be able to align their strategies to be prepared for more funding to develop programs. So here you'll see where we have some already created across the state and some that are in progress, and we really want to improve that. So we hope that our investments across the state will help to grow that number of digital inclusion plans across the state. So we're looking to learn more about the community needs through this process. And really, we're hoping that we can develop more partnerships. We know that folks who want to work together with us to understand how they can be a part of growing this and helping us to build our digital equity plan, we'll be looking for input from many of you and from other groups across the state as we develop that. And also, we hope that our partners will work with us to share information about the Affordable Connectivity Program and the benefits of it and really how people can adopt adopt internet and utilize it properly. And we also plan to, we're actually launching a website and then a resource hub with, you know, more information so folks can understand more about our digital literacy goals. And so we hope that our partners such as you all will help us to promote that as we get it going. So I think that might end that, but I think we're all open for questions. Help people understand more about our priorities in the ODET Office of Digital Equity and Literacy.
Well, that throws it back to me, and I believe we're going to get a lot of questions out of this crowd, and I have a list of 100 of my own questions. So. First off, let's just go to some of the questions asked by the attendees today. Several people ask about, is there any way for people to see what's going on with the challenges to the great grants? Is there anything posted online of who's being challenged? Just out of
there is not. So we consider this a quiet period, right? Because we are in an active grant review. Once we complete the review, I think we can make the protests public. We can't make the data public. It is covered in statute as being confidential. but I think we can at least provide a list of who challenged who. But again, we're working through those, and it'll be another couple weeks to get all those resolved.
Another question, are all counties eligible for the CAB program?
All counties are eligible unless they have, in legislation, if a county has spent federal money on broadband infrastructure projects since May 1 of last year, outside of the state programs, those counties are ineligible, except for participation, and unless it's been for participation in GREAT or CAB. So I know we've talked about that a bit in the past. The concept, I think, from the legislature was that if a county wants to kind of go out on their own and use their federal money to do their own projects, that's kind of one path, or they can partner with the state on GREAT and CAB.
Okay, thanks. Another question, someone wanted to hear more about the stopgap grants. Can you talk more about what that's going to look like?
Yes, I think so. The first program we're working on with stopgap is a line extension program. And so we're kind of in the early stages of that, but that would essentially be, so we've got these homes that were already served. We've got these homes that are going to be covered by a GREAT grant project. And then we've got these three homes that were missed by this build. And so how do we get those three homes filled, covered with service? And so it'll be, and again, we're still developing that, but figuring out how a provider could build to these tiny pockets of homes and get those costs covered.
Very nice. Actually, I personally love those line extensions because there's always people in between those darn geographic areas.
So. Yeah, it's actually one of the ones I'm most excited about because we get so many inquiries from folks that are like, my neighbor has service. I don't have service. They're just, it's half a mile down the road. It's going to be $20,000. And so how do you solve that? And there's some other states developing those programs. So we're working with other states on that as well.
Just so you know, that's the number one question I'm asked everywhere too. There's a whole lot of people just out of reach of broadband.
Yeah.
Just a point of clarification. It sounds like, and someone wanted to know, you're using the North Carolina broadband maps for the CABS program, not the FCC maps, right?
Correct. Yes. Okay. Although as the foundation, right? But then the counties will have a chance to work with us if they have additional data or want to have discussions on what other eligible areas there may be, then that's something we will fold into their county process. I don't think the FCC map data will be available in time for the initial CAB projects.
Great. A couple interesting questions. Could you talk a little more about the pole replacement program? I mean, it hasn't really been talked about much. So how do you picture that working?
Well, it's a reimbursement at a high level. So it's a reimbursement to communications providers that in unserved areas only, that when a utility pole needs to be replaced as part of a broadband build, it's basically reimbursing them for some of those costs.
And that
it goes to the attacher, the reimbursement, not the pole owner.
Okay, but and then they're charged by the pole owner and then give that money to the pole.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was the clarification I think I was looking for. So as people start implementing their GREAT grant programs and they run into a lot of bad poles, they can come back to this program for some relief.
Or
something like that, right? I mean, you haven't worked out the details yet, but that's the idea of it. Could you talk more about what you meant by your implementation partner? What does that mean?
Yeah, I think I'll defer to Nate. Yeah.
Sure, I'm happy to chime in. I think we know that to administer a $1 billion program, potentially $2 billion, right? I mean, by the time we pull down funds from BEAD and Digital Equity Act, I think we reasonably anticipate hundreds of millions of additional dollars there. We need to be able to move very quickly to connect as many households as possible while maintaining good stewardship of taxpayer resources. The level of building and work and planning that we need to deliver these resources effectively, but also maintaining oversight, remaining accountable to state and federal watchdog entities or oversight partners, I think will require us to considerably expand our capacity, right? And so what we have, what we intend to release in the coming days is a draft request for proposals that would address both risk management services and strategic support. So when I say risk management, I mean grant monitoring and integrity, program evaluation. So we're holding our own work and administration of these programs accountable, and federal and state compliance work. So that as we, you know, execute each great grant award, each CAB agreement, each digital equity grant, we have a partner who's accountable for maintaining or for ensuring that those funds are used appropriately, and that both we as a state and our subrecipients of these federal funds are have the correct accountability mechanisms built in and are using the funds appropriately. On the strategic support side, you know, as we go through a five-year planning process, both for digital equity and for BEAD, fortunately, I think North Carolina has a lot of the homework already done because of the work we're doing through ARPA, right? We kind of, we've got the foundation for these plans in place. But as we incorporate stakeholder feedback and build processes intended to maximize that feedback, we'll need some additional kind of advisory help, I think, on the planning side. So we'll put that RFP out shortly, initially in draft form to try and generate the broadest possible range of feedback. I could see us potentially awarding those two items together or separately, depending on the market response we get.
Thank you. An interesting question, because local, you know, workforce development is part of it. What should local workforce boards do to sort of get ready for what's coming down the road here? Any advice on how they can, because they're going to be asked to somehow participate in the workforce development. So,
yeah, that's a great question. And I think engaging locally with other stakeholders that are focused on digital equity work with internet providers, with their schools, building those strong local partnerships, I think is important. So as we turn to stakeholders, the folks working on the ground already know each other. And I know that's the case in most places already, right? But that conversation needs to start as soon as possible. That's a great question.
Another question sort of related to something I already asked, but to back to the idea of the stopgap. One of the issues that we have out here, maybe, and I know in Western North Carolina, but probably everywhere, is that folks are being quoted $1,000, $2,000, and $3,000 for their ISP to connect to them. Would those kind of locations maybe be part of the stopgap? I mean, those turns out that those are a real hurdle for people actually getting from their house to the street for broadband that's already there. So,
yeah, I think that's what we have to define, right, is the difference between getting it to, you know, are we counting like drops that go down a driveway or just to the road? And I think that we're still sorting through those questions.
But you're aware that that's a big issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. And our ability to use stopgap for those funds, I think, will depend a lot on the data we get back through the GREAT and CAB programs, right? Each of these programs is designed to get us more granular data about who still needs some level of service, right? And we'll be able to really zoom in on remaining unserved and underserved areas as we go through each of these.
And another follow-up question on the, because as you all talk, I think of more questions, a follow-up on the stopgap. I mean, could a group of those three houses that are left out somehow get the word out they need help? How do you vision them get the word getting out that people need this help? So,
well, and I think that's a question too. So, right. So is it coming from, I think the, you know, we don't think we can pay citizens directly, right? So
right.
It would be funding going to providers. So is it the providers that are kind of initiating, you know, hey, there's these four homes we missed, or citizens? And I think it's both, but ultimately the application, you know, would have to come from the provider. So it's kind of bridging that gap.
Yeah. And other states are wrestling with this. One of the states, Maine, has a program where people asked And then providers come on and look at that list, and then they come and respond to those. I mean, that's that's one interesting way to do it.
Yeah, so I think it'll have to be some type of like published list, probably.
Yep, very good. Really, the rest of the questions on here now talk about really what's coming up with the BEAD money. So there's a whole lot of concerns about that. So a few questions on that. What are your plans for when you might publish the, you know, I know it's going to be a while, but what, you know, when you're going to file and be ready with your version of the plan that you're going to file federal government, because we know there's a review process. So could you tell us about what might be the plans for getting ready for that?
Well, you know, I think that the one, I think having an implementation partner on board is critical for us really bringing the level of attention necessary to kind of stakeholder listening sessions, right? And just to have the capacity to be able to start taking in feedback. That's on the critical path. I also think great grant and CAB data is essential first, right? So we should be making these great grant awards in the coming weeks. We'll immediately jump into the CAB program and have a sense of what county interest is in participating in that RFP process moving forward. How those programs work and the data that each of those programs yields back to us, I think will drive our BEAD application. But I think generally you can expect the state to pursue the more or less the structure we've laid out from the great grant, kind of a very traditional prescriptive grant program where internet providers come to us, the CAB program where we work directly with counties to kind of map out and identify areas of need, and then stopgap where we're using to really address the highest cost areas left behind. You can expect us to use that framework more or less as we max out the BEAD program. I think the next item on our to-do list for BEAD is to complete our application for the initial planning funds. I think it's due in August. We plan to get it in much sooner, but just stay tuned. For those of you who are on DIT's broadband stakeholder email listserv, we'll make sure that between that and our social media, we're getting information out about all the ways we're taking in feedback and all the opportunities to provide it to us. So just stay tuned.
And that was my next question, actually. So how do you get on that list? How exactly do you get on your...
Crystal, can you put a link to that list?
That'd be great.
In the chat.
And can I just add a couple quick things?
Please.
So on the BEAD side, the kind of budget is due to NTIA, an initial budget in August, and then we have 270 days to complete the plan. So really we're looking at, you know, spending that, you know, fall and spring on this kind of stakeholder driven state broadband plan. And so I just, you know, I was just at this conference last week on BEAD, and, you know, we had to talk about our takeaways. And my takeaway was really just the enormous opportunity that I think this provides for the state, because we have all this deployment funding, we have digital equity funding, and it's giving us the chance to really look across the state and make sure that we're addressing all the pieces that we need to. And you know, and also the, you know, things like telehealth and remote learning, and, you know, are we making sure that everything is being covered? And the other piece with BEAD is that the deployment money will be determined by the FCC maps, right? And so that's why the timeline is a bit up in the air, because we don't know when the FCC will release the new maps. But the deployment money is kind of based on those areas, but as states, we will have a chance to challenge both the availability data and the serviceable location fabric. And so that's something we're tracking closely as well.
My next question, how do you get all this stuff done at the same time? That's a long list of stuff you guys are working on.
Yes.
A next question here. We still have folks at Western North Carolina that are still worried about the RDOF stuff, because we have a whole lot of RDOF areas that are given to Starlink, and you know, those are sort of off limits for these grants. And everyone's worried because, one, the FCC hasn't done anything, and then two, people aren't happy that that's they're going to be their only option if that's what they get awarded. So have there been any discussions on what you do about that? I know every state's wrestling with that. So
I'm looking at Nate, but so I'm thinking
that, I was looking at you. Go for it.
What I heard from the NTIA, of course, our funding partner on the BEAD work, is that they don't want any home left unserved at the end of all this money. And so the RDOF areas, I believe, will still be protected. But at the same time, you know, we're looking at several years of deployment coming up. And so I think that what we could see is if there's RDOF areas that aren't going to be deployed, or any applicants that don't make it through the long form process of the FCC, then, you know, so there could be areas that drop out, and then those will get covered in BEAD. So that's my take on it.
So your hope is that we'll find a solution, right? Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, no, you look, if RDOF areas get built out in a timely fashion, that's great, right? I mean, that is the outcome we want, is for those areas to be fully served as quickly as possible. If they're not going to be served as quickly as we need, and we know that we need it more than 6 or so years from now, or fewer than 6 or so years from now, it's more urgent than that. If they're not going to be funded quickly or built out quickly, then the state has to find a way to step in and address those needs.
And that's what we wanted to hear, that you guys are not going to sit by and let those just drift. So perfect. I was on a webinar last week with the head of the broadband office in Virginia, and she talked about how the state broadband offices are all coordinating to come up with any pushback to the NTIA, because the NTIA rules in many places are somewhat harsher, they're harsher than the Great Grant or the CAB rules. And she named North Carolina as one of the leaders. She said that you guys were part of, and it's an informal process between all the state offices. I'm just curious, you know, what's going on there, if you could tell us more about that. I know that, you know, getting all the states together would be awesome. So I'm curious about what's going on. So
there's a lot of engagement, both formal and informal, right now across states that are working on this. You know, we are not alone. A lot of states, this is both a good and a bad thing, right? A lot of states are trying to go big on broadband infrastructure and digital equity at the same time, which of course increases pressures on, you know, supply chain issues, labor supply, things like that. But it's good to have a sounding boards across states, other folks who are building expertise on this. I think you're right that North Carolina has been positioned, thanks to Governor Cooper's focus on using our American Rescue Plan funds for this for this work. I think we are positioned to be one of the leaders. Virginia's doing great work. There are a number of other states doing really good work. I think we have devoted more resources to it than just about any other state to this point. And I think our focus on digital equity, which NTIA and others are trying to drive, is already baked in here in North Carolina. And I think that that's really good news for our ability to draw down these additional funds. You know, I know Angie and Annette were both with the National Governors Association last week, which convened a number of broadband leaders across states. NTIA also provides us with numerous opportunities to gather, both with structured agendas and to communicate and, you know, about problem solving more generally. So yes, that conversation is happening, and I think we are active participants in it.
Very good. I'm actually starting to run out of questions here. Catherine, how about you?
This go. There. My only question was one I had asked Angie before we started live, which was how, what's the time frame on the deployment for the great grants? Because I think folks generally don't know that answer.
Yeah, so our guidance says 2 years for the construction period. That's what our legislation gives 5 years for the great grant awards overall. And traditionally that's been a 2-year construction period and a 3-year monitoring period, but we're kind of looking at that in relation to supply chain and workforce challenges.
And my sense is you guys will have the authority to control that if supply chain becomes a problem.
Yes, that's actually not, that's been a program decision, it's not currently in our legislation.
Okay.
Yeah, although
go ahead, Angie.
I would just say, although ultimately the federal rules as well have timelines, I believe it's December 31st, 2026, that everything has to be built according to the federal rules for ARPA.
And so because some of your money is ARPA supplied, mm-hmm. that you would be bound to some of those deadlines too.
Yeah.
That has to be built. Those projects with those funds for broadband have to be complete by the end of calendar year 2026. That's the timeline that we're working on. We want to have all of this awarded and executed much more quickly than that. But again, we're aware, we want to hold internet providers accountable, right, and put pressure on them to move quickly. But we also don't want any provider to not participate in one of these programs because they're worried they can't execute, right? We want to make sure that they're in the pool, right, and we can work with them to figure out how to get them the resources they need to complete these projects.
Thank you. I have another question for Annette. And working around a lot of states, there's a lot of discussion for digital equity on how to best for communities to get their act together, even to come to you for the money. I mean, there's a lot of states are considering, they don't want 1,000 grants requests from 1,000 cities. They'd rather see cities join together and come as communities or counties. I know you haven't been there very long yet, but you know, what are your thoughts on advice for communities to come in and ask for that money? And is there any help you'll be giving them if they want to join with others? So,
sure, I do think it's a matter of understanding who's doing what in communities, understanding who's already leading efforts and determining how they can align their interests with that. Local coordination is important on our end, but also for those nonprofit leaders or the organizations that are trying to do the work and want to compete or want to be prepared. For additional resources. Some of these organizations tell us that they're kind of operating on a shoestring budget, but I think it's important to coordinate and to create engagement with others. I also think understanding how they can prepare a digital inclusion plan. As I mentioned earlier, some counties already are working on that, and then there are others who don't know about it. So I feel like that's part of our role, is to find out where this is lacking and to really try to help support them. And that's where the capacity building comes into play.
One other question from the general audience here. There are some counties who doesn't appear that anyone asked for great grants. What's the state's role? And maybe that goes to CABS, is to sort of push out the providers to start filling in those holes.
Yeah, I think I was just pulling up that list because I thought we might get that question. I think that some of it is counties that are fairly well covered by our local telephone co-ops. So, I mean, over the past like 2 decades, right, our telephone membership cooperatives have done an amazing job of building out in their counties. So I think that's some of it. Some of them are larger counties like, you know, Mecklenburg, a couple that counties went off on their own to use their federal money on their own path. So I think it's that kind of combination that makes up the 6.
You don't think it's a matter that they were simply, no one's asked for the money under any of those different ways?
I think it's, so say, I'll just pick on Brunswick. So because Atlantic Telephone Membership Cooperative, which is now Focus Broadband, has really been one of our most proactive telephone co-ops. And so they're based in Brunswick. So, you know, that may be part of a reason why we didn't get a Brunswick application. I believe there's a lot built in that county. So there's kind of that type of scenario. But under the CAB program, these counties will have the ability to participate regardless of what happened with GRATE.
I think the only county, Angie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the only county that wasn't the site of a GRATE grant, and of course, remember that GRATE grants come to us from internet providers, right? Not from the county themselves. So we're kind of waiting to see what providers step up to and propose to cover. The only county that either wasn't very thoroughly covered or the site of some other spending by the county, thus making it ineligible, was Mecklenburg County, which has pretty strong coverage. Now, we'll go through the CAB process, identify underserved areas as well, and hopefully address any need in Mecklenburg moving forward. But the demand on the Great Grant side was pretty comprehensive.
Very good. Is there a map of what was filed, or will you just wait until you make the awards?
Well, yeah. we posted all the applications publicly, but yes, we'll work on getting a map up. The counties that weren't, that we didn't get applications for, are Allegheny, Brunswick, Lenoir, Mecklenburg, Rockingham, and Watauga.
Very good.
Is that list still on your website? And forgive me for not looking before I ask this question.
We are working on, we just got a request yesterday for a list of applicants because we had had them posted and then we took them down when the protest period ended. So we're working on posting that list. Yep.
Awesome.
Believe it or not, I believe that this is unheard of, but I believe we're 4 minutes early. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I want to remind folks that we will be sending out this video. We'll probably wait. We also want to get the thing Angie was talking about that's coming out tomorrow or so. And we'll combine all those things in an attachment to everyone on this call so you can get follow-up. And we appreciate all the folks that joined today. It was really good to see this many participants. And we just so everyone knows, we've been talking today, but I work in almost all 50 states. There are states who are still trying to hire the Nate Dennys and the Angies. So North Carolina is massively ahead of some states who don't even have anyone yet in their broadband office. So so we're pretty lucky that they're on so far on top of that. I mean, it's really a drastic difference between, you know, state A and state B. So, you know, we have as much as people, you know, want to have any criticisms of the process because it's incredibly complex, don't forget that there's places that are starting at zero. We're way past zero. So I appreciate all your time today. We'll probably have you back again. I would imagine that maybe, you know, December or something, you know, as you start really getting into all the, after CABS has been out and we're really getting into BEAD, I'm sure we're going to want to hear from you again. So, and we appreciate you all giving us the time. And we're definitely going to hear from Annette when we really get rolling with digital equity. We're all on pins and needles figuring out how that's actually going to work. So we definitely want to know a lot more about that when it starts turning into programs. So sure. Thanks everyone for their time today. And we finished 3 minutes early and that's just the way it goes.
And you guys, we'll get you the list of the chat questions and the Q&A in case we missed any.
Oh, that'd be great.
You can directly answer those.
Excellent. Thank you all.
Thank you guys.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for all the hard work.
Bye.
All right. Bye now.